91.9 WNTI.
Public radio from Centenary College,
where great music lives.
All through the day, I'm in mine, I'm in mine, I'm in mine. All through the night, I'm in mine, I'm in mine, I'm in mine. Now the frightened are leaving it, everyone's weaving it, coming on strong all the time. All through the day, I'm in mine.
I'm in me, mine. I'm in me, mine. I'm in me, mine. I'm in me, mine.
All I can hear, I'm in mine, I'm in mine, I'm in mine. Even those tears, I'm in mine.
You can believe nearly ever what I say. And that was Delaney and Bonnie and Friends featuring Eric Clapton, on tour with Eric Clapton, that is. We started that set off with I, Me, Mine, the George Harrison song from Let It Be. This is WNTI 91.9, where great music lives. You're listening to The Cavern, an hour of everything Beatles. I'm your host, Gary Ault, and we are in the 1970 Beatles radio experience. Anything the Beatles released as a group or as solo acts, or anything else that was released in that year, is fair game for this show and the weeks to come. And we again followed I Me Mine up with Where There's a Will, There's a Way, from Delaney and Bonnie's album On Tour with Eric Clapton. And that was a song, was the first successful, I guess you'd say, song written by Bobby Whitlock, who was a member of the band, and that was the band that sort of started putting him on the map. And the reason we're highlighting that is because tonight we're going to be featuring the music mainly that is associated with George Harrison and or Bobby Whitlock. They did a lot of overlapping, and they did a lot of material that was not overlapping. And we are actually going to have Bobby on the program later, about 20 after or something like that. We're going to have an interview with Bobby. And so we're going to be playing some more material that he played on. So we have a trivia question that's sort of related to George Harrison and Bobby Whitlock, because it's about the George Harrison album All Things Must Pass, which Bobby was one of the, probably the most prominent player on that album, except for George himself. He played on every song except for two, three if you count It's Johnny's Birthday from the jam disc. But he played on virtually every song, which is more than anybody else contributed except for George himself. And he had a lot to say about that project in his book, Bobby Whitlock, A Rock and Roll Autobiography, which is available just about anywhere where you can get books. And we're going to be talking about that later. But in that book, he talked about the different players on All Things Must Pass. Now, there were a ton of people that were credited on that album, but nowhere does it say who played what, except for on the jam record. And so the question is, who, and there is no harmonica player mentioned anywhere, by the way. Nobody that's known as a harmonica player is credited on the album anywhere, but there are a couple of songs with harmonica on them. So the question is, and if you know the answer, call 908-852-4545, and you're maybe eligible to win a gift certificate to Andre's Restaurant and Wine Boutique in New Jersey. And again, the number is 908-852-4545. And the simple question is, maybe not a simple answer, but a very basic question, is who was the harmonica player on those songs on All Things Must Pass? All Things Must Pass, no T on the end. Again, 908-852-4545. Now we're going to treat you to some Eric Clapton.
Get your out of bed. With this crazy feeling in my head. I said, get up right now. No. Ooh. I said, get up right now. Feel so bad this morning. I said, help me, help me in my head. Do me a favor, baby. Do me a favor, please. Please get up and get your bed, a bottle of red wine.
Hey! glass and twist the knife to yourself. You gotta be a fool to understand. To bring your woman back home after she's left you for another. You gotta be a
Any Day from Derek and the Dominoes, featuring Eric Clapton and Bobby Whitlock, wrote the song together and sang together. What a great band that was. And we started that set off with Eric Clapton's first solo album, his debut album, released in 1970. And this is the Beatles' 1970 radio experience. The song was Bottle of Red Wine, a song he co-wrote with Delaney Bramlett, who, of course, was leader of the band Delaney and Bonnie. And that's how everybody met on a tour with Blind Faith, when Eric Clapton was with Blind Faith, and Delaney and Bonnie and friends were opening for them, and the friendship resulted. And before you know it, he was playing on their tour, on their albums, and they were playing on his first solo album. And the next thing you know, Bobby was in England writing songs with Eric and forming Derek and the Dominoes. We're going to hear all about that after the break, when we interview Bobby Whitlock. And in the meantime, I just want to give you one more hint about the trivia question. And again, the number is 908-852-4545. I already gave you a hint when I said that you can look it up in Bobby Whitlock's new book. but the question was, who is the harmonica player that's uncredited as the harmonica player? There is no credit for a harmonica player, in other words, on the All Things Must Pass album. And the other hint is that it is not someone that is known as a harmonica player. 908-852-4545. After the break, Bobby Whitlock.
Hi, everybody. This is Bob Renotis, your host for the Sinatra Hour, WNTI's weekly showcase of America's greatest and most beloved popular singer. Sunday mornings from 11 to noon, I play the full range of Frank Sinatra's music, from his early days in the big band era to his classic recordings of the 50s, 60s, 70s, and beyond. So join me, Bob Renotis, every Sunday morning at 11 for the Sinatra Hour, right here on 91.9 WNTI, public radio from Centenary College.
Support for WNTI comes from our members and the Red Mill Museum, located on Main Street in Clinton.
The Red Mill will present the Festival of Trees, November 23rd to the 25th and November 27th to December 2nd.
More information available by phone, 908-735-4101, or online at theredmill.org.
Does your business or organization have a community event coming up? Want to get the word out to the online community? You can post your event through the community events calendar at WNTI.org. To submit your event, go to WNTI.org and follow the instructions. Within a few days, your event will be seen by the many visitors to the WNTI website. So go to WNTI.org and submit your community event today.
This is 91.9 WNTI, where great music lives. You're listening to The Cavern, an hour of everything Beatles. I'm your host, Gary Alton. We have Bobby Whitlock on the line. How you doing, Bobby?
I'm good, Gary. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Hello to New Jersey.
Yeah, you used to live in Califon, Hackettstown area some years ago.
In Califon, up over the Raritan River, that area right there.
Yeah.
They say it's the Garden State, and well, for sure, we were living in the flower pot of it. It's the most beautiful countryside I've ever seen. If it wasn't so cold there.
Right, yeah, yeah.
It's just too cold.
Yeah, I agree with that. Well, living in Austin, I think it's the opposite.
We really loved living up there. And I don't know what number interview this is with WNTI, but Coco and I done a lot of shows there when y'all was in your original place over at the school.
Now, you call yourself the Invisible Souls now, is that right?
No. When it was just Coco and me, and without our band, we would say that our band is the Invisible Souls, because, you know, you could, if the bass player's right there, the drummer's right on, and if there's an orchestra you need, that you hear it, you know?
Oh, okay.
No, but we did that, I would say that, you know, during the course of the show. But no, we're calling ourselves the Bobby Whitlock and Coco Carmel Band.
Okay.
Brandon Temple is our drummer. Jimmy Pettit is the bass player. And Jeff Plankenhorn is the guitar player. And it was one serious, serious rock and roll band, I got to say.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah, and we're taking some time off. We're going to play January the 5th at the Saxon, this place that we've been playing.
That's in Austin, Texas?
Yeah. It's like the best listening room that there is. And it's a small place, but it's just great. It's got great stage, light, sound, and everything. And it's all about the music. Well, that's what this city is anyway. It's all about music and the arts. Pretty amazing. Someone told me recently that Austin was the cultural center of the United States, and I pretty much can agree with that. Now we got the F1 track here, you know. They just had their first Formula One race here, and a whole other elite set of people came in from about 125,000 of them from, you know, from Arabia and places,
oh, wow.
Places where they really have a lot of money, you know.
Wow.
But it's great living here.
Great. And you also spent some time in London in the early 70s, around the time that you and Eric Clapton were forming Derek and the Dominoes.
Oh, I probably had a total of 3 or 4 different houses over there over the years.
Uh-huh.
My first house that I ever had in my life was in Chertsey, and Keith Moon was my neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
But I lived in and out of England for the better part of 20 years of my life.
Now, while you were staying with Eric at a Hurtwood Edge at his house there in Ewhurst, you and he had written some songs that tracked before Derek and the Dominoes, and so it seems like your songwriting really started to blossom during the Dominoes period. Is it your sense that you were like growing up together, you and Eric, as a songwriting team, or like learning from each other?
Yeah, because we said. Well, instead of us doing all these other songs, you know, well, let's just write our own songs. For a little while, we had to do, you know, things off of his first record and, like, a couple of Cream songs. But as we would write one, and we'd put them down, you know, put the old songs down. But it was a conscious decision that we were going to write our own material. We just didn't realize... we went completely, we had no plan, which is probably the best thing that could have happened. You know, neither of us, either one of us were what I would call now an experienced songwriter. But, I mean, even though Eric had written In the Presence of the Lord, and I had written Thorn Tree in the Garden already, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that thing of... being experienced as an experienced songwriter, that's just a matter of years, and that's not really time. You know, that's just a measuring factor. But it's something that you're born to do, like singing and playing. You you don't. It's not something that you learn and pick up and suddenly you're real good at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you may work at something and it suddenly hits you that that's what you're supposed to be doing. But no, I was born to sing. I've been singing all since I can remember, and I've got a real good memory.
Mm-hmm.
Back when I was a little bitty boy, I've been singing my whole life on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but there are people who take lessons and stuff, and people who play instruments who they know the notes and they know all the chords and they know all the moves. But when it comes down to being their own, where they're that place where God works through them and lets the art flow, you know, when they open themselves up and allow that, the creative principle of the universe to work through them and for them and as them, that's when songs like Georgia on My Mind by Curly Putnam, that's when songs like, Green, Green Grass at Home by Curly Putnam, songs like Georgia on My Mind, songs like Layla, My Sweet Lord. That's these. That's when songs like that, they come through the artist.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Picasso's paintings, just like Rembrandt, you know, Michelangelo. All that art did not come from; it came through. You know, and that would be like the creative principle. That what I call God. You know, and they're transparencies. See, they're transparencies for that creative force to operate. I mean, like, you know, you've seen artists when they're over, here it comes, man.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. And you, man, I can't find a pencil fast enough, you know, or you've seen these artists that performance artists to get up on a giant canvas in front of a room full of people and take black paint. And suddenly there's a 30-foot, thing of Martin Luther King, you know, and that's what that is. It's that being in the moment. You know, when an artist gets his creative thing coming, man, and all of a sudden the painting begins, and he may do 30 or 40 paintings, and then there's nothing. You know?
Yeah.
Same with playing and singing and writing songs. You know.
And you're singing. I really think that's what really more than anything else made the Derek and the Dominoes album work. The blending of your and Eric's voices, which are very different voices. Yours is Eric's.
The
I would say is more
of our voices worked so well together.
Yeah.
It was uncanny. So we went together to make almost a different sound. You know, a vocal sound like Sam and Dave together. That's what we did. We were like white Sam and Dave.
Mm-hmm.
Only rock and roll. Like with Coco and me, the same. We have the same thing going on. She does the same thing for me as I did for Eric in supporting the vocalist. You know, it's kind of like akin to when you're working out and you've got a trainer and you can't quite get the bar all the way up all this time, and he just puts his finger underneath it, and it doesn't really do anything, but suddenly you can lift it. It's an invisible thing, you know, that happens, and suddenly you're singing better, and you can reach heights that you couldn't reach before.
Right.
And
right.
Things are different. With Coco and me, sometimes it's like there's a third harmony because the timbres are so close.
Mm-hmm.
There's a third harmonic that breaks through. I asked her, I said, did you put another vocal on that? She said, no.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of which, we're finishing up on a live album.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just incredible. And our that will be our 10th CD since we were in California, and we're finishing up on our studio CD that we recorded, wrote and recorded since May when we got back from our trip in India. We decided to write new songs, even though we had material already in the can, even though we, you know, had songs that we haven't recorded. But Coco wanted to write new material and that would be totally influenced by our Indian trip.
Mm-hmm.
And she's, you know, she does all the production and, you know, produce. She's the producer and engineer. of us and for us. So she has quite a lot on her plate.
Okay. You know. We're going to play something from that album when we get it, but that's the Esoteric record, or is that
Esoteric. Yeah. And yeah. The two that we're finishing up now, one of the one from India, that's what we're calling it, India, and it's our ninth CD, so it's India number 9. Oh, okay. And it'll be out in the new year.
Okay, well, looking forward to it. This is 91.9 WNTI Public Radio from Centenary College. While you're talking about singing and writing, I want to talk a little bit about the All Things Must Pass experience. What surprised me, of course, the credits on that album, there are a lot of people credited on it, but I think very few people know, unless they've read your book, A Rock and Roll Autobiography, that it was essentially Derek and the Dominoes was the backup band for most of the album, and you personally were on all but three songs, if I counted right.
Yeah, well, it's actually all but two of them. And I made every session, I was on every session except the two Pete Drake things.
I was counting.
But they used my whistle as the...
For the kind of the model for the pedal steel.
Yeah, for the pedal steel. When we were listening back in the control room there at Apple, or EMI, I was listening back to the playback of what we just recorded, and I was standing down in front of the control desk, and George and Phil Spector was behind the desk, and everybody was standing in the room, and when that thing started, I started whistling. And Phil Spector goes, "Who's that?" And I went, "Oh, man, it was like a kid in school. I'm out of turn, man. I shouldn't have done that." And I said, "Oh, that was me, man." And he said, "Go out there on the microphone and do that again." And so we went out, and I whistled on the mic, and I said, "Now, what you really need to do, man, is to get Pete Drake over here to do this." And 2 days later, Pete Drake was there to do his they did sessions for 2 days for Pete Drake.
Now, there's often a significant difference between how something sounds as it's being recorded in the studio and the finished product. It would seem especially true of All Things Must Pass because of Phil Spector's Wall of Sound concept. Did that album come out differently than it was sounding as you were recording it?
No, because they added a lot of that wall of sound, which is different hall sounds, you know, and room sounds was added. But there was a lot that was on there as we were going along. So there was a certain amount of it that George just couldn't get off of it when he went to remaster it, you know, remix it and everything. There was a certain amount of it that was just there. It was just the way it sounded, which is pretty cool. You know, it was all right. It was, that was what he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
That's what George wanted. He wanted that wall of sound. And all of the musicians were in there doing it all at once.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the only overdubs there were really were the horns, the hanging bells that I played, tubular bells, and background vocals, which was George and Eric and me. And on All Things, My Sweet Lord, it's just those vocals are just George and me. And I'm singing the second part harmony, and then he overdubbed a ton of other backgrounds, you know,
mm-hmm.
parts, but. That one is just George and me doing the background. So the O'Hara Smith singers really is Eric and me.
Yeah, that was the other surprise in the book, again, because the credits aren't real specific on the album.
Book, I do the song by song. And funny enough, when I was writing my book, I didn't decide I was going to write a book. I just had this cathartic experience that started and September of 2008, and it went for 18 months, and I didn't start it, and I didn't stop it, and I couldn't control it. I mean, it was the voice would come to me at 3:00 in the morning and say, "Get up, go downstairs."
Mm-hmm.
Now, when something is that profound and tells you to get up and go downstairs and wait, that's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened to me, and Coco just made the coffee and cooked and stuff, and for 18 straight months, man, it was like I even had to take the last 7 months off from playing because I couldn't focus.
It would seem like
I was just that place where it was pouring itself through. It was like the vessel was so full it cracked, and I spilled my guts on the Steve Hoffman music form. And then Mark Roberti came on and said, "This has got to be Bobby Whitlock." And, you know, it just all came on its own. We didn't have to look for a publisher. We got a publisher right away. I mean, it surely was God at work. It wasn't me. Because I can't write a grocery list and make that work out, you know. And writing down my ideas for songs, it looks like Russian, you know. I mean, I have to piece it all together. Sometimes it flows out, but a lot of times it's bits and pieces everywhere. But, boy, this thing was, and it was 476 stories that just flowed out.
Wow.
And we had to cut it down from that, of course. And now they're wanting another book. It was number one top-rated book in rock music on Amazon for 14 straight months, 24/7. When I first saw that, I thought that I said, this is a joke. You know, I'm number one. I've never been number one in anything, you know.
Yeah.
This is a joke. And then it was number one in rock biographies as well. And so I was holding two number one positions on the charts, and I went, this came, somebody pulling my leg, you know. And then, like, I'm paying attention to it for a couple of days. I look back, and there it was again, you know. And then I went, there's something wrong here. This page is frozen. Somebody just sent me that as a gift, you know, to make me feel good. And the next day, it was like everything had changed except my position, the number one spot. And everything else had changed. Everybody else has changed on there. I went, wow, this is like the real, it's for real, you know?
Wow.
So it was fun to keep up with that for a while. And I had never had anything like that happen for me. And so I was keeping up with it for a while. I still look going there every now and then. It's still in the top 10.
And
I don't look at it every day like I did before.
Right.
I would imagine if anybody had a book that they didn't mean to write come out and it's the number one, I imagine they'd be doing the same thing as I was doing, you know, going over and checking out, seeing what's happening today, you know?
It'd be a big temptation, I guess. And the name of the book, the full name is Bobby Whitlock, A Rock and Roll Autobiography. I get that right? Okay. And of course, I guess they can get it at Amazon. I mean, how do you?
Amazon, or you can get it through Eric's Where's Eric fanzine, and or my publisher is McFarland and Company Publishers. But and it's on you know, booksellers. It's and pretty much every you can get it everywhere, you know, all over the planet. And my publisher, funnily enough, are the number one publishers of Scholastic and research material. They don't have any garbage out there, you know, and none of their books. And my book is in all of the universities and schools in the United States and Great Britain and Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the historical significance, it's a reference book. And if you want to find out about that period of time, there's a guy, Pat Thomas, is with the record company. They're getting ready to release my first two solo records. But I kind of connect the dots between Delaney and Bonnie, Joe Cocker, Allman Brothers, Derek and the Dominoes, you know, Blind Faith, All Things Must Pass. So I pretty much connect the dots between that period in history. And I do a song by song of who's playing what, who's singing what, who's sitting where, what's the climate of the room and All Things Must Pass, and the same thing for the Layla record. It's just like I could walk you right in there, hold your hand, and it's pretty amazing that I was the avenue through which that took place. And now it's going to be a forever thing. It's a forever dispensation because of the nature of it, you know.
Mm.
So pretty amazing that would happen for me in my life, in this lifetime.
Right.
It was, I tell you, Gary, it was like this. It was like all throughout my career, it was like I was bee, flitting from flower to flower, and each flower being Delaney and Bonnie and them Joe Cocker and Dr. John and Eric Clapton and Blind Faith and then George Harrison, and each one of these flowers, I was collecting this pollen, and then it was like my pollen sack got so full that it broke open. So it's pretty amazing to be me and that have that take place. I'm gonna switch phones here.
Well, we're actually
Are you still with me?
Yeah. We're sort of out of time, I guess. But boy, I'd love to just continue this because it's a great book. One of the things I enjoyed about it was, again, like I was saying to you off the air, the human element of it and how you described your upbringing and how you made peace with your father, I thought was the most touching part of the book, which I guess I have one more question, even though we don't have any time. That obviously must have been therapeutic, if not cathartic, you know, you making peace with Dad at the last minute there.
It was a major healing for me.
Yeah.
That I didn't even know I needed.
Mm-hmm.
I'd been carrying around all these things, all this information, all of other people's burdens all of my life. And I didn't know that I didn't have to do that. Well, I know now. And thank you for taking the time out in your life, Gary, to read about mine, you know.
Oh, well, thank you for providing the book. I mean, it was, you know, I've been listening to your music since you started making it, I guess. And you know, here's it, what, 40 years later or something like that, to read these details is really, really enlightening. So thank you for writing the book. And thanks for being on the air with us here at WNTI 91.9.
Thank you for asking me. And I'll say hello again to everybody in the California area, friend Casper, and friend there, Trev. We'll see you guys when we're looking at you.
Okay, thanks again, Bobby.
Thanks, Gary. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bobby Whitlock, talking about his recent book, A Rock and Roll Autobiography, available on Amazon.com and just about anywhere else you might want to buy a book. And talking about his days with Derek and the Dominoes, George Harrison's All Things Must Pass, and his recent work. Thanks again, Bobby, for being with us. Now, after the break, we're going to carry on with some of the music that Bobby was partly responsible for on the All Things Must Pass album.
Hi, this is Robert Cray inviting you to visit E-Town this week. I'll be joined by Nick and Helen, Anders Osborne, and the winner of the E-Achievement Award. That's this week in E-Town.
Wednesdays at 9 p.m. right here on 91.9 WNTI and WNTI.org.
WNTI support comes from the Stanhope House, located on Main Street in Stanhope, New Jersey. The Stanhope House offers Americana food and entertainment nightly.
Coming to the Stanhope House on Saturday, December 1st at 8:30 p.m., the Holmes Brothers with the Adam Kessler Band.
More information available at stanhopehousenj.com or by phone 973-347-7777 for the Stanhope House.
This holiday season, a family classic is coming to Centenary's Lackland Center, and all you have to do is follow the yellow brick road. Hello, I'm Catherine Rust, inviting you to enjoy the Royal Shakespeare Company's musical adaptation of The Wizard of Oz, November 23rd through December 9th at the Sitnik Theater. This classic story of Dorothy, the Scarecrow, the Tin Man, the Lion, and Toto features music and lyrics from the MGM motion picture, along with additional show-stopping numbers not included in the movie. A great holiday treat for the entire family. Performances of The Wizard of Oz are 7:30 on Thursdays, 8 o'clock on Fridays and Saturdays, and 2 p.m. on Sundays and Wednesdays. Tickets range from $20 to $29.50 with discounts for students and seniors. They're available online at centenarystageco.org or at 908-979-0900 or at the box office on Main in downtown Hackettstown. Don't miss our holiday musical celebration, The Wizard of Oz, November 23rd through December 9th on the Centenary Stage. It's all always.
the title track from George Harrison's 1970 triple album release, All Things Must Pass, featuring the pedal steel work of Peter Drake, which was conceived by Bobby Whitlock, who we had on the show earlier today. Thanks for telling us about that, Bobby, about that whistling, that they basically said, we got to do that, and we got Peter Drake to do it. So we have no answers, actually, to the trivia question. Nobody called with the right answer. A lot of people called. They said Bob Dylan, good guess, a whole bunch of other guesses. But the answer to who played the harmonica on the All Things Must Pass album is George Harrison. Now, he was not a harmonica player and still, never was, I guess. But Bobby Whitlock himself told me that and he told everybody that on page 80 of his book, A Rock and Roll Autobiography. And there are a lot of other facts that might surprise you, including how Derek and the Dominoes was formed and why they broke up. Everybody assumed that it was simply because of Eric's heroin addiction after being snubbed by Patty, but it's a little more than that. So it's a very interesting book, A Rock and Roll Autobiography by Bobby Whitlock, available wherever you might get books. So anyway, we said that George Harrison was playing the harmonica. Let's listen to Apple Scruffs and listen to George Harrison play harmonica.
Watch you sitting there, seeing the passers-by all stir, like you have no place to go. But there's so much they don't know about the apple scrubs. You've been stood around for years, see my smiles and touch my tears. How it's been a long, long time, and how you've been on my apple scrubs. Apple scrubs, how I love you, how I love you. Flowers in your hand, my apple scrubs. While the years have come and go, thy love must surely show that without all time and space, we're together face to face, my apple scrubs.
More love than we know, and I miss her. It all seems so strange to see, cause she'd never turn her back on me and leave that last goodbye. And if she winds up walking the streets, loving every other man she meets, I'll be the one to answer why. Lord, I hope it's not me. If I never see her face again, I'll never hold her hand. And if she's in somebody's arms, I know I'll understand. But I miss that girl, oh Lord, I still miss that girl.
In the background, you are listening to, from George Harrison's album All Things Must Pass, Plug Me In, featuring Derek and the Dominoes, George Harrison, and Dave Mason. And this has been 91.9 WNTI, still is 91.9, and probably still will be. And you've been listening to The Cavern, an hour of everything Beatles. I'm your host, Gary Ault. We want to thank Bobby Whitlock so much for being with us tonight. And we will play tracks from that Esoteric album just as soon as we get our grubby mitts on it. Just want to let you know about the Good Rats show coming up this week, the weekend, December 1st, at the Blairstown Theater. There are still tickets available. You can get them by going to the WNTI website, WNTI.org, or you can call 908-979-4355, dial extension 1, and the lovely Mel Teal will answer the phone and take your order. And also, we are still collecting non-perishable food at the Good Rat Show for the local food pantry. Next week, part 3 of 1970, the Beatles Radio Experience. Again, I'm your host, Gary Ault, and it's been my pleasure playing records for you, just like I did when I was a kid. And so thank you again to Bobby Whitlock, and everybody have a good weekend.
You're listening to member-supported 91.9 WNTI Hackettstown.
And worldwide at WNTI.org.
Public radio from Centenary College.